What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBeer here, and we are back. It's the month of September, and the boys of Flame On are here to talk about, quite honestly, whatever we want to talk about. It's really what this show is all about. I am reporting to you live from the East Coast for the first time in a long time that I've recorded on the East Coast. It's Pat DeBeer here, and I am joined by two of my fellow Flamers. Both on the East Coast. Look at us. We're just an East Coast podcast again. Look at this. We've got Eric.
Right?
Hello.
And we've got BJ.
Same time zone and everything.
I know. The funniest thing that I realized that last time we recorded, I'm recording from the place you were the last time we recorded. Not the same hotel, because
are you in
I'm on Long Island right now. I am
home.
Yeah. I have some work stuff coming up and came out to the island, and I'm not in Carly Place, as you called it that one time. But I will probably drive by Carl Place at some point. But I am on Long Island. I am reporting to you live from New York, and we were all in the same time zone. So look at us go. Isn't it exciting?
It's wild too, because like I think I was in Carl Place for the first like 30 days of my deployment, and then I came home for 6 days and then went out back out, but that hotel was booked up and didn't have any more government rate rooms, so I was in Ran Kankana. I was like 5 minutes from the train station, that like within walking distance of the train station, but yeah, I was all the way out in Ran Kankana. For my 10 days I was there, and then I ended up driving back.
So how many more stops on the Long Island Railroad was that from the city?
So all of them? Wildly enough, it's the last stop, but
it's the Ronkonkoma line ends in Ronkonkoma.
It's the thing about the line though is, so my coworker, she was in Ronkonkoma when we went to go see Death Becomes Her in the city, and she was like, I had met up with some friends for like an early dinner, and she was like, oh, I didn't know you'd finish up so soon, we could have ridden back together. No, because the Carl Place stop is part of the Huntington line. The Ronkonkoma stop skips Carl Place completely. So I was like, I'm glad I didn't follow you, because otherwise I would have wound up having, because I parked at the near next to the station, so I would have had to have gone all the way down to Ronkonkoma or Huntington and then get on another train and come back. And I was not doing that. But it was maybe an extra 20, 30 minutes getting into the city. So because it skips like the last four stops before Jamaica. So I was like, oh, okay. So it's the same amount of time. And by that point I had mastered the New York subway system. So I was very pleased with myself, and now nothing can stop me ever again. Because let me tell you, like, Google Maps will tell you like the specific train you're aiming to get on, but it gives like the entire name of the train. And none of the trains are going to have their entire fucking name on the little marquee or the sign. They're just going to have one of the street names. And you just kind of got to accept the fact that, like, yeah, I'm going to 14th Street, and just hope that it stops at 14th Street and you didn't fuck up and get on an express. Because I did get on an express one time, and I was looking at the little map on Google Maps, and I was like, huh, I'm coming in pretty fast. Like, I should be stopping here in the next, like, couple of feet. There goes the station. Uh-oh. So,
when you say the whole name, are you meaning, like, the numbers? So, like, it tells you, like, you can take the 1, 2, or 3?
Like, no.
Is that part of it?
It'll tell you to go to platform, like, 1, 2, or 3. And it'll tell you, like I was heading to, I'm going to get the name wrong again. I was heading to Rock Bar? Not Iron Bar. Iron Bar.
Not Iron Bar.
And it was like, it said I would get off at, I was getting on the like 14th Street, uptown, Manhattan, like, was that, not, it gave the full name of the borough I was going to, but the train's not going to have the full name of the borough. It's going to have like, it's like start and stop. Stops like where it's mm-hmm. going, but like it's not gonna list all the stops on the outside of the train. You'll find out once you get on the train. So like there was one time where I'm like, I'm 70% sure this is my train, I'm gonna get on it, and I get on it and I was correct. And then from that moment on I was like, if it's got any of the stops that I'm going to in its name, it's safe, because at the very least I can get off one or two stops before my final stop and just walk the rest of the fucking way. The only issue I had was I couldn't figure out what was an express and what wasn't an express and what times the express trains would start. But I lucked out more often than not, because I got on an express. This was late, y'all. This was like 1 a.m. and I got on an express train to Jamaica. And I lucked out because the train skipped like the last 5 stops and went straight to Jamaica. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm here early. So I actually got home at like 2 a.m. instead of like, you know, 4 a.m. like last time. So it was fun. It was, I'm obsessed with decent public transportation now.
I was going to say, you say like the young New Yorker in me says when you say 1 a.m. is late, and I'm like, the bars close at 4. As long as you are not on like the 5:45, 6 a.m. train, the drunk train back, you're fine. Like that's you know, because the drunk train is a thing. It is a thing.
I'm shocked. The drunk train is a thing in the middle of the day. If there's a fucking, what is that, a Mets game?
Well, that's any, yeah, that's same here in Chicago. Like any city that has a,
I'm sure the Bright Line here in Orlando gets drunk train on when there's the soccer games going on.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. That's the thing. Any city that's got a sporting team and a rail line is going to have that. But I just find it funny that like with the subway, you're not necessarily looking for the streets. The express thing is a pain in the ass. I absolutely get that. But you're just looking for like the number or the letter, like, and then uptown or downtown. Like that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
So like, when you're talking about like all these names, I'm like, the subway has more names than just the one.
Well, like, and well, then no, the stop the that subway, it's at. Like, the subway has just the names like 1, 1, 2, or like the corner of the entrance. But when you're looking at Google Maps gives you the entrance you need to go into, which is super helpful. But then it gives you like the 1, 2, or 3 or the ABF or whatever the designation for the platform. But then it gives you a specific train name, and the specific train name it does not match up to what's actually on the train, unless it's one of the trains with like an actual printed like placard and not like a digital readout. So I'm like, I'm just going to hope that 14th Street is somewhere like, and then the train will pull up and say 14th Street. And I'm like, done. Perfect. I'm on the right platform. It says 14th Street. I'm getting on it.
I'm just so used to being like, okay, leaving Rock Bar, whatever time, walk to Christopher Street Station, get on the 1 train, going uptown to, and then getting off at Penn Station and hopping on the train back home. Not the Ronkonkoma line. I do not take the Ronkonkoma. Well, no, actually, I do take the Ronkonkoma line because I if I'm going to Farmingdale, I haven't really used the Farmingdale station in forever. But for me, I end up on I've been going through Massapequa most of the times that I've been back out here. So it is the Ronkonkoma.
You're in the quarantine.
Huh?
Yeah. So I was there. So there's a quarantine for Asian longhorn beetle. That was the whole purpose of me even going to New York for work. The quarantine for Asian longhorn beetle is in Massapequa, Farmingdale, Amityville. It's like a giant square that stops at the 495. So I was literally driving around Farmingdale and Massapequa working.
the 495. You mean the Long Island Expressway, or more commonly known, the LIE? That's the first time I think I've ever heard anybody refer to the LIE as the 495.
That's what it's listed in Google Maps. Listen, I call it whatever it's called in Google Maps.
It's the Long Island Expressway. There was a whole movie about it called LIE. It wasn't about the Long Island Expressway, but, you know, anyway, 2001, geez, that was a long time ago. It's a crime thriller. Anyway,
I'll have to look that up.
Anywho, no, but yeah, it's funny. There was a little part of me that was like, I knew that you weren't going to be back up here. Like, you were going to still be here when I got over here, cause I was starting to plan this trip. Came together fairly late. But I drove from Chicago to Long Island and did a 14-hour drive a few days ago. So I am currently, as Brian would say, on travel, but still recording this podcast. So we are, the last time we recorded, it was, Jersey Pride. So BJ bounced a little early on that recording. But we are here. It has been an eventful month in the world.
Can we have a non-eventful month for just one month?
I would love that. And honestly, at this point, I wouldn't even say a month. Give us a day. I was gonna say a week, but honestly. Give us a day of not having, a week, a month, any of that just feels like too much. Like, just give us a day. Just give us a day. But there's a lot in the world going on, but there's also stuff that is going on in the pop culture world that we're going to talk about. And I think one of the good places to start is with a game series who notoriously has a running joke within the community on delays that is not Grand Theft Auto 6, but
the long national nightmare is over.
Not yet. Not that one, at least. Definitely not the actual one, but
God.
Either way, Eric, I think you have something that you wanted to talk about that maybe isn't necessarily the newer version of this, but BJ can segue into that. I've heard that you started playing a game that many people out there may have enjoyed playing sometime between 2017 and now. So what game is that?
Well, since how Silksong finally came out after being announced 6 years ago, I thought it would be the perfect time to, play the original, because I never played Hollow Knight. So
I was going to say, play for the first time, not revisit before the sequel.
For the first time, because I'm right on the pulse of society.
Current you synonymous.
But yes, I mean, I actually got access to the game a couple years ago because it was a PlayStation Plus monthly title. So I mean, I've had it for free for a long time, but I just never played it. Always loved the art style. It's gorgeous to look at. But I had just not played any sort of platforming Metroidvania game in a long time. So it's currently kicking my ass as I go through it.
Was Metroid the last one you played?
No. Super Metroid, duh.
His last two games were Metroid and Castlevania. Oddly enough, who knew?
But with all the craziness and the way everyone's been clamoring to get Silk Song, and seeing that Silk Song had broke all of the game download platforms when it released, it's crazy to look back and see that Hollow Knight is an 8-year-old game, which is crazy because it doesn't look it. It still feels fresh. The fact that back in 2014, when it was on Kickstarter, it had a goal of 35,000. And at the time, it got 57,000 in backers. But if you think that as of August of this year, it sold 15 million copies, it's crazy how much that game's blown up over the years.
And also, they released Silk Song for like, I think Silk Song was released for $20.
Yeah, it's currently $20. Yeah. It's not, you can't get it physical currently. I'm sure the physical version will be cost more just because of the supplies and everything to make physical copies of games. But, and if you were original backer on Kickstarter, you got Silk Song for free because it was a stretch goal. Originally, it was just going to be a DLC to have a second character campaign. And actually, one of the stretch goals they didn't hit was for a third campaign, which I'm sure will still be produced anyways, because Silk Song's going to sell incredibly well and everyone will want more.
So like 12 years from now, we'll get
exactly
the third one. Well, no, that makes a lot of sense now, because I'd never really heard of Hollow Knight until probably in the last like 2 years, when I started watching more video game playthroughs and video game content on YouTube. So some of the speedrunners that I watch, like CJ, and like Quinn Bobin has done Hollow Knight playthroughs, or not necessarily playthroughs, but different pieces to it. So I had never really heard of it before. But one of the things that constantly would get referenced was Silk Song. And I wasn't sure if it was something that had been announced, like, hey, the sequel will be called Silk Song. But it also now makes sense that if it was part of the stretch goal and then that's what it turned into as a sequel, that Silk Song, the name Silk Song, has been so kind of synonymous with all of these playthroughs and these videos and all this stuff over the last X number of years, because it you know, is part of the, before the game even came out, as part of the Kickstarter campaign from 2014.
Yeah, and just to put it in perspective, one of their original stretch goals was to have a Wii U port.
Wow. Wow.
Which eventually became the Switch port, because by the time the game finally released in 2017, the Wii U was no longer making games.
Was it? When did the Switch come out?
It was about that time.
I was at 2017, because I feel like that's when Odyssey and Breath of the Wild came out. And they were still, I mean, I don't know about third-party developers, but Nintendo during that period always does dual releases. The previous, so like Wii U would have had a version and Switch would have had a version for some games. Obviously, things like, you know, Odyssey was a Switch thing, but I remember GameCube into Wii.
Yeah, like was Twilight Princess.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking, Aaron. Yeah. Exactly. Because I think I had a GameCube version of it, not the Wii version of it. I forget which one I had, but that's exactly what I was thinking of, is that was a, at launch of the Wii, was a dual, like a dual platform release. But would make sense that with a third party developer, it's a lot of money to be able to put something on these platforms, especially in physical copies. Have we ever talked about Use Your Words? I know this is an odd tangent, but it'll make sense. It's a Jackbox like game. Is. Okay.
No.
So do you know who Brental Floss is?
I mean, I've heard the name. I think you've referenced them before.
Okay, so Brent Black is a I don't want to say YouTuber, but he did a lot of like, what if this video game song had lyrics? So like the Ocarina of Time music, like what if Ocarina of Time had lyrics? And he does these like fun songs or whatever. He and some compatriots did a Jackbox like game called Use Your Words, and they crowdfunded it. I got it when I used to do my Twitch streams for game night back during like the height of COVID, wave one. We used to play it because it's a very similar thing. They crowdfunded for Use Your Words 2 and are kind of in that same realm where I got an email that said, hey, when we started this, it's taken a while. There were setbacks. There were things that they had to work on. And I have I got a code for a Steam copy, but part of the stretch goal was to get it on the consoles. But when they were putting the consoles up, the Switch was the Nintendo console of date. But now with Switch 2, they had to send out emails of like, hey, we're running into delays because Nintendo has a longer process for what they, for them allowing anything onto the eShop. So if you want, you can get a copy on the Switch, or you can let us know, hey, we'll wait, I'll wait a little bit longer and I'll get a Switch 2 version of it. So it's interesting seeing what third party developers have to go through for this, especially when new versions of a console come out, whether it's the, the launch of a PS5 or PS6 when that eventually happens. So it's interesting to see those things play out with crowdfunding.
For sure.
And which version of Hollow Knight so you got the definitive version of Hollow Knight, Eric?
Yeah, it's called the Voidheart version. So it has all four DLCs.
Yeah.
I'm still in the base game, though. I want to say I'm over halfway through the base game, and that I have almost all the maps unlocked, but obviously I don't have all the abilities, and I'm not sure how many bosses there are total. So
there's a lot, and I know there's a lot of like mid range bosses too. Mm-hmm. From what I've played, and I know there's like, I think there's 4 or 5 endings. And I think there's only one real way to get the best, and not really the best ending, but like the definitive ending, like the ending,
right,
that like I guess goes into Silk Song. I won't tell you how to get it unless you want me to.
No, that's okay. I have plenty more exploring to do. I don't even need to think about that yet.
It's a fun game to explore, like, in all. And the thing that I'm mad about, I'm a fucking entomology major, and it wasn't until it was a free game on the PlayStation Network and I downloaded it that I realized, I'm like, this.
Yeah, it's all bugs.
These are bugs. I'm a little bug guy. These are bugs. Like, I was like, what do you mean these are bugs? What do you mean? Like the one defining characteristic that would have made me, because the funny thing is I bought it. I bought like the definitive Voidheart edition for the Switch because I had a ton of Switch points or credits. So I was like, oh, hey, I'll buy this and download it to the Switch. It's a little Metroidvania. It's perfect for the Switch. And then it came out on PlayStation, and then I got it for PlayStation also. And then I ended up getting farther in the PlayStation version than I did the Switch version. So now I played on the PlayStation version is the one I played for like 3-4 years. Like I that was a slow burn for me.
Eric, are you gonna go for 112%? Are you completionist moding this? Are you gonna get the full amount?
I'll probably go for exploring the map as much as possible. As far as beating all of the bonus bosses and doing like the I think there's something called the Path of Pain and all that. I don't know if I am skilled enough to make it through like the boss gauntlets and all that.
Yeah.
Because again, for platforming and that kind of stuff, my big platforming days were back in the Nintendo and SNES eras. So the games weren't... I mean, there were challenging platformers back then, but not in the same way that they are now. So the boss fights are definitely taking me longer than when I go and I watch some Let's Play videos and I see people like one-shot bosses and I'm like, that took me like 2 hours to do.
I'm currently stuck on one in Silk Song right now, and I know it takes me back to Mega Man, where I'm like, yeah. I know the boss's like techniques. I know exactly like what they're gonna do. I've got my rhythm down, but like I was literally in the zone, and then one of my Joy-Cons that I have hooked to my Switch has been glitching lately because I probably haven't updated. I haven't updated my Joy-Cons in forever. But like it says it's not connected and I have to like unconnect and reconnect it. And then every time I reconnect it, the boss is like mid animation swing at me. And I'm like, you son of a bitch. So now I'm like, now, cause before I always play my Switch in handheld mode 90% of the time. So now it's sitting in the dock and I'm like, all right, now I'm going to have to relearn how to use the Pro Controller. And then I'm just going to play it on my TV when I'm not deployed. Cause I mostly play my Switch when I'm deployed. So when I'm not deployed, I generally don't play it a ton. But yeah, no, I very much remember the Hollow Knight bosses and just fucking like. And then I would for my piddly half a hit point and a half of extra damage, I'm upgrading my fucking nail, being like, yeah, this will do it. This will be the one fucking thing that gets me through. In the meantime, I've only gotten like 6 hits on the boss and I need like with the nail upgraded, I still need like 25 hits. So I've just like gaslit myself into being like, yeah, it's upgraded. It's upgraded enough. Like I've got this one extra spell that I can't utilize well at all. Like I just, the hitbox for it is just super tiny. And I'm like, yeah, this will do it. And I've just like gaslit myself into like, being patient enough to get
I do appreciate how many different charms there are, so you can change your play style depending on from boss to boss
and yeah
see what works best. Yeah. But yeah,
and some of the charms are insane. Like you can custom build a lot of things. Like if you know your shit for dodging, I know there's a charm that like auto hits the enemy like twice. And then there's, if you pair it up with another charm, it'll hit them like 3 times if they hit you. And then I think if you pair it with, I think there's a third one that like auto regens and generates extra extra soul energy. If you like pair all 4 of those together, like every time you get hit, you essentially do like quadruple damage to the boss. And like, if you manage to dodge long enough, you can regen most of your health. It's actually a really nice. It's like the quintessential Metroidvania aspect of the game, where you can like customize your character in really fun ways, and you don't have to like. Eventually, you just start killing enemies with one hit. But like, yeah,
it's so much fun. There's so much depth to the game, but nothing brings me as much joy as finding one of the little caterpillar grubs. And sending it back to its daddy and then going and getting all the money.
Hold on to that joy. Just hold on to it, and then once you get to a certain part, I want to hear your take on a specific one. There's a part of the game I never truly explored the whole area because I was like, this is horrifying and I don't like any of it. So I just like kind of ran through it real quick. And like, I don't think I uncovered half of the secrets in that area. I was just like, get me out of this fucking, you've said you unlocked most of the map, right?
I mean, are you talking about Deep Nest? Because I imagine that the dark part with all the spiders, that was very creepy for me.
Deep Nest was creepy. I'm talking about the sewer.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
With the worms.
Yes. With the worms and the one enemy where when you hit them, they break in half and the other half starts scuttling towards you. I was like, I don't like that. I hate that. I hate that completely. I was like, I wasn't expecting a zombie section of the game. I mean, they're all kind of zombies, but I was like,
right.
No. And then it goes through platforms. I was like, what the fuck is that? Are you a ghost now? I'm like, get the fuck out of my face. Like, and then I think there was one time I didn't have a ton of money and I died down there and I was like, nope, not going back for that. That little void baby of mine can just like exist down there forever. No, the spider section was really fun. I had a friend watching me play that and then they were like, absolutely not. They were like, get the fuck out. They were like, we're done with that. And he like got up and left the room. He was like, nope.
So does this all sound intriguing to you? Are you going to be a Hollow Knight player now, Pat?
Probably not. Only because, like you, Eric, most of my platforming days are well behind me. But I will say this. I do enjoy watching like some of the videos. So I've brought him up on the channel before, but Quinbo Bin is one of the YouTube like gaming channels that I watch a lot, mostly because I enjoy the content. And if I'm not mistaken, bisexual, so part of the community, fantastic. Love to throw the support behind the content creators that are part of the community. But I've watched a bunch of his videos on Hollow Knight. CJ, I think, did speed runs of it. Like, so I've seen randomizer videos. It's intriguing to watch. I definitely think that it looked like a fun game. Maybe. And there was actually a little part of me that was like, maybe I pick it up. Maybe it's something that I try. And it's one of those things where I say the same thing about Mario Maker, because I watch a lot of videos of like super expert endless runs and a lot of these videos, and I'm like, I don't think I have it in me, because the videos make me sit there and go, I can do this. Like, I used to play these games all the time, but I also like just something as simple as a shell jump, I'm like,
I watch a lot of people play ROM hacks of Super Mario World, and the stuff in the like, I would never get past the first level in some of those ROM hacks. It's
yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely. Who do you watch?
I mean, Barbarous King, okay. Who created some of the Grand Pooh World hacks.
Pooh Bear.
Yeah,
I was wondering. Yeah, because I know Pooh plays a lot of them. DGR plays a lot of the ROM hacks. Yeah. I don't necessarily watch those videos. Those are. Some of these people like Pooh and I think even DGR, I came to know because of Odyssey Hide and Seek.
Oh, like okay. Yeah.
There's that sphere of of those creators like CJ, Small Ant, probably my least favorite out of all of them. Although it's funny how I think all the girls have left the little sphere of that. Although Bytes stopped to streaming and really kind of doing YouTube, and now is like focused on like a big person job, but it's just kind of funny how it's become an all boys thing. But like Fur, Failboat, like all those channels are pretty much what I watch. And then Ryukar, I found out about through Jaden Animations, and he does a lot of like one channel is pretty much just Mario Maker content, so. That's I watch a lot of those videos and I'm like, I can do that. I should buy the game. And then I go, do I really want to put myself through that? Maybe not. But I've thought about it now with Silk Song coming out. I'm like, maybe give it a try. I don't play often enough. Like BJ, I don't. My Switch 2 has gotten so little use. And then I was like, I'm going to my parents' house for essentially a week and a half. I should bring my Switch. I don't have a carrying case for my new Switch 2. Maybe I'll just bring my Switch 1. And then I'm like, what am I doing that? And remembered I have the box still. So I packed it back up in the box. Listen, for as expensive as that fucker is, I'm not taking a chance on breaking the screen or doing anything like that. So I packed it up in the box and then ordered myself a case that got here yesterday. So I was able to.
Listen, I used to fucking, every time I would get a new phone, I would try to get a case from the fucking T-Mobile store just as a temporary one, and they would never have my fucking case. And I would be like, I'll just order one from Amazon. And I would literally set the phone up, order from Amazon. And one time I was at the outlets in fucking Orlando getting a pair of jeans. And I got an alert in the dressing room that like I was just like, oh, my case is here. And I drop it. And it was one of those outlet stores that has, because outlet stores are bare fucking bones. No carpet, all fucking stone. And yep. Like the hardest fucking stone you can think of. And I dropped my phone. And then another time it happened at work, I had a case, but the screen protector was on order. And I dropped it and it fell face first on the one part of the concrete with a little lump sticking up. So it went right past where my case would have stopped it and hit the screen right in the center. And I was like, so let me tell you, I order the case first. And the screen protector first, then I get my phone. I'm like, yeah. Oh. I did the same thing with the Switch.
Yeah. So I did not expect to get my Switch, and I had no plans to travel with it. But to your point with the phone, I always order a case from Amazon before the phone is scheduled to arrive, because those cases are always on the website first. Although, Eric, I think you were there with me though in Provincetown the one time that I had that same issue that BJ had for the second time, where the cobbly bit of the road, the rocks on the road, were just enough to, we were drunkenly walking down the street, and I think Scotty was next to me. We left our show, we're walking down the street, doing like the gay like super hand, you know. Waves as you walk down, just kind of like, you know, the hand motions exaggerate when you were
the Kingdom Hearts walk, where you're like,
exactly just like doo-doo-doo. And his hand hit mine, like we were on opposite cycles with our hands, hit it screen down onto Commercial Street, and it was just enough extra rock on the ground to shatter my screen in Provincetown. So I get it.
That shit's homophobic.
It is. But Hollow Knight, Eric, what are your overall thoughts? Are you loving it? Are you glad that you started playing?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Good.
So good. The music, graphics, gameplay, it's all great.
Sweet. And BJ, I know we didn't talk a lot about Silksong, but we're trying to, you know, that's a newer game. We're not going to go too crazy on spoiling a new game.
In a couple of years, I'm sure I'll be able to talk about Silksong.
we'll put a pin in it. We'll revisit in about 3 or 4 years. But are you enjoying Silksong, BJ?
Oh, absolutely. So the only non-spoiler, really. Honestly, I'm not super far into it. I'm at the point where I'm exploring and just trying to open the map and get, like, I finally got the ability to dash. So I'm slowly opening up abilities. I'm familiar with how Metroidvanias work, especially Hollow Knight. So, like, all my money is going to all the map accessories right now, just so I can unlock the map and keep track of things easier. But no, it's Hornet is significantly nimbler than the Hollow Knight. So being able to string together her modes of like her dash jumping, if you time a jump press just right when she's climbing up on a ledge, she actually like pole vaults herself. So there's just something really satisfying with her movements, but you definitely have to get used, because like, she doesn't slash in like a four direction sort of ordeal. She does like a downward dash when she slashes down, but you can kind of chain that together, which is really, really cool.
It's interesting seeing her do this angle downward instead of the straight downward pogo that you can do with the Hollow Knight.
Yeah. Yeah, it's because she's like a mid boss that pops up. She's Proto Man. If you played the Mega Man, any of the Mega Man games, Proto Man shows up and does like a mid boss fight. So she's like a Proto Man in Hollow Knight, and so you get to play as her here, and she's every bit of as fun to play here as she seems in Hollow Knight. So it's super satisfying. Like I'm having a blast with it, even when I want to throw my Switch out the window. It's more of the same, but definitely in different ways. And I'm very excited to see what more they do with it, because I don't think they're planning on DLC for this one. At least as of right now, they said they weren't planning on DLC. But yeah, and then it's taken the internet by storm. If I'm scrolling on TikTok, every single live it auto generates for me is somebody playing Silk Song. So yeah. People are in love with it. I love the fact that people are in love with it. I love the fact that Team Cherry, it's three people, I think, on the production team, and they only charge $20 for it, which is a very huge middle finger to this like $90 game fucking nonsense that seems to be spreading around. So yeah, the fact that like, you know, a studio, and they're going to win awards for it, you know, a studio of three people can outperform any of the three giants, I'm here for. I'm absolutely here for a ragtag team of nerds outperforming everybody. So I'm excited to dive further into it. I played some today. So I'll give my little outdated Switch OLED some love. I put a hard limit on my Switch 2 purchase to exactly 1 year from when it comes out. So, which was tough because I was making extra money in New York, and I went to the Nintendo store twice, and they had plenty there for me to purchase. And I was like, "Fuck you, responsibility!" But
you could have bought a $50 amiibo instead.
I almost did buy an amiibo. I hadn't gotten any new amiibos in a long time. And I think the last amiibos I got were for for Tears of the Kingdom. I got two of those amiibos, and that was kind of it. But yeah, we'll see how it plays out. But definitely, I'm gonna get some mileage out of this, like I did Hollow Knight.
Wait, did you get Daddy Ganondorf amiibo?
I think I did. Yeah, I got Daddy Ganondorf, and I think I got Zelda. I got Tribal.
Yeah, those were the two that I got. I think for the last two that I bought were the Zelda and Daddy Ganon. And when you say Team Cherry, it just makes me think. I just want to go Team Cherry, boom boom, gaga. I don't know what happened recently, but I've had like a lot of like fame. Songs pop up for different reasons on like TikTok or whatever, and I just the chokehold that Cherry Cherry Boom Boom had on us at one point in time. I love it. Awesome. Well, Hollow Knight, Silk Song, obviously big things going on in the world right now in gaming. Real quick, as a side piece, so we don't have to dive in too much, but I was curious. Eric, I don't think you had watched this by last time we recorded. Have you watched any Slasion Royale?
Yes, I am up to date on Slasion Royale.
Okay. What are your just quick thoughts on Slasion Royale so far?
It's fine.
Okay.
I'm surprised Yuha's still there.
She
did great this last episode.
Yes.
But apart from that, I'm like, okay.
I think it's Yuha's first drag race win, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think she won anything on season 10. So good for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just funny because when they called the other two girls for like the top, I was like, damn, that's some shit right there. And then they made it a top three lip syncing for the win. I was like, okay, y'all are just being dramatic for drama's sake at this point.
On one hand, I'm surprised they called it considered it a snatch game adjacent thing at all. But on the other hand, I was like, when you have all the language barriers that they're that they're dealing with on this season, I completely understand why they didn't do a whole panel comedy thing. But some of the guest judges they're getting, I'm so confused by. Like I guess because Alyssa won Global All-Stars, she qualifies to be, but like Jimbo being there, I didn't understand why Jimbo was a guest judge.
I don't understand, and it's weird because they're there for two episodes.
Yeah,
like it's so odd. It was heartbreaking to see. Apparently, the episode where Mama Pow references Jiggly passing.
Mm-hmm.
It literally was like they were filming that and got word that Jiggly had passed during filming of that episode, like that runway portion of it. So that's like it was fresh for them. So that was sad. Overall, kind of a. I know we did talk about it a little bit, and I know that Luke had pointed out or called out, and I think I even mentioned it when we talked about it. It's just interesting that all of the Filipino contestants were essentially like top three, top four contestants for their seasons. And all the international queens were like the bottom third of their seasons. So it is nice to see some of them get some shine, like Suki Doll getting some love with the makeover. Yuha getting her first win. Like those are some cool pieces to it. And then real quick, what are your thoughts so far as we enter into the end of Project Runway? As of recording, we have one more episode for this season. I don't know if you watched through episode 9.
Yep, I have.
When I watched it on Friday, I was going to message you and go, hey, from now on, we're just going to call our episode Humble and Kind. This podcast episode is just called Humble and Kind.
I like podcasting with people who are humble and kind.
and who need the money.
Yeah. I started the season kind of, well, the entire season I've been anti-twins. Because they're so fucking annoying. yes. But I really didn't enjoy VJ as much at the beginning of the season, but she's definitely grown on me. She certainly extra stirred the pot at the end of the last episode. But also, Antonio, the only reason he made that scene and stormed out, I don't think was totally because of VJ. He's using her as an excuse, but he already knew he was in the bottom two and was going to get kicked out. So he's just making a scene to make a scene.
Yeah. Yeah. My thing with that is if you were going to, in essence, and not necessarily, it wasn't a big thing, but if you were in essence going to punch down on one of your competitors to answer that question and say that person doesn't deserve it, and then they turn around and say you don't deserve it, you have no right to get annoyed and be like, I'm not going to be stand up there and be humiliated. Bitch, you did the same shit to her. You said she didn't deserve it.
And like Jesus pulled a Lux Noir London and went down.
And basically, well, yeah, it said everybody else deserved it except for VJ, which... Yeah, it's crazy the amount of like cognitive dissonance you have to have.
And then the fact that the twins were incredulous, the fact that one of the judges dared to ask which one was the better designer. There's actually tactful ways that you could answer that question and still not give a full answer. Would say, well, he does this type of design better than me, but I'm better in these areas, you know?
But bitch, at that point, just say, I'm the better designer.
Yeah.
Honestly, like if they're asking you, because Law said it, there's only one winner.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It's a competition. And that's why I think it's bullshit. It's the same thing with like Sugar and Spice. We knew they weren't going to fucking win the, you know, drag race, but you have family members be like, I love him. He's a fantastic designer. I think I'm better.
Yeah.
And I want to win this competition. But if I don't win, I want my brother to win.
Yeah.
That's all that it is. Don't sit there and be like, I'm not going to answer that question. Because you know what? You're answering that question.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you can't turn around and say, I'm the better designer, then you don't think you're the better designer. Your non-answer is an answer. That's what it is. Anywho, I'm excited to see. I was so excited when we had that fake out of, oh, they're both going home. And then they're like, no one's going home. And I was like, oh, fuck you.
I mean, I think that Ethan, Jesus, and
Belania.
I don't know. Even though Belania has two wins, I think her lows overall have been worse than VJ's. But I think because she has two wins, she probably deserves to be in the finale.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't. Neither of them had a great look in this last runway.
Yeah.
But
on one, well, the whole red thing was interesting because at least from what they never specifically said your costume has to, did they ever say the costume has to fit into the world of Oz?
No, or but it was avant-garde inspired by Wicked.
Yeah.
So to that, and with as much as they focused on like the color story and the branding,
mm-hmm.
I think it would have behooved her to find mm-hmm. a way to do that. Because if it was yellow, you'd be like, yeah. Okay, well, the yellow brick road or whatever. Because like Glinda's dress, the one that they show in the workroom, mm-hmm. isn't pink.
Right.
It's more like white with like the iridescent and it evokes mm-hmm. that pink. But yeah, I think VJ, Jesus, and Ethan will end up in the top three. Just from a construction piece.
Mm-hmm.
And Belania's didn't really scream avant-garde. But then again, VJ was in the top the week prior for a reveal look that did not have a reveal.
Exactly.
So yeah. Well, I'm excited to see if we're talking about Ethan being the winner of Project Runway when we convene next. But BJ.
Oh, by the way, before we move on, did you see the little clip from the Roscoe's viewing party where Detox?
I don't think I've actually watched it directly. Yeah. Where she's like, they both go home next, and then it comes back. Yeah. You're like, you're both out. you know what that is. That's Detox coming at you with the old curse.
Exactly.
stealing that from the mom peoples. Yes. No, that's great though. And then Alaska, I think it was Alaska, pointed out. Have you seen the new meme where it's the ice cream cone, like the chocolate dipped ice cream cone, and it looks like Detox's face?
No, I hadn't seen that one.
Yeah, there's a new coming at you with the old curse meme out there. But anyway, BJ, I think you had something that you wanted to chat about, so I will toss it over to you.
Have any of you all watched Owl House? First of all.
No, but I watched this show that you sent us.
For a second, I thought you said Dollhouse, and I got excited. And then I was like, oh no, Owl House. No, that's not what he said. Damn it. I haven't seen it.
So just some So Owl House is like the last of the... probably the last of Disney's woke propaganda. But Owl House is a very queer, positive, body positive... dark fantasy series. So if anybody listening has ever watched Willow or my personal favorite, watched Labyrinth or Legend or just like any of those Land Before Time, Owl House is kind of like a love letter to that sort of dark fantasy idea, whereas Gravity Falls was like a love letter to like 80s and 90s like horror sci-fi, like with like group of kids sort of dealing with like clearly nightmarish things. But the Owl House was originally supposed to go for 4 seasons, 2 full seasons. Season 3 was supposed to be a series of specials, and then a 4th and final season, but Disney cut it short. Spoiler alert, the main character in Owl House is openly bisexual and gets a girlfriend, I want to say, around season 2-ish. So it's very beautifully done. It's wonderfully written. However, Dana Terrace, the creator of Owl House, on like a call was told that like the show doesn't like resonate with their preferred demographic, blah, 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 blah. It's too dark, too weird. We're going to cut it at 3 seasons. When season 3 debuted, they put the first episode on YouTube and it got like something insane, like 4 million views in the first like 24 hours. And then the network, the Disney was like, well, hold, pump the brakes. And then by that point, production had ended. Everybody had gone their separate ways. End of story.
You mean Disney executives don't have their finger on the pulse of what America actually wants?
I mean, I think we got their fucking attention today. I think we got their attention over the past 48 hours with their, what, 3.4 billion or 4 billion revenue lost for their fuckery nonsense. In the meantime, Dana Terrace was approached by a animation company that does indie animation, Glitch Productions. They do The Amazing Digital Circus, Gaslight District, and they did their first big hit series was Murderbots, all on YouTube, all free to watch. But Knights of Guinevere is, they approached her about Knights of Guinevere, and it's an Australian adult independent animation web series created and written by Dana Terrace, Zach Marcus, and John Bailey Owen, directed by Dana Terrace and produced by Glitch Productions. It's kind of billed as a sci-fi psychological thriller. And it does not fucking disappoint, because let me tell you, if you have lived, worked, or been to the Disney parks regularly, anywhere near a Disney park regularly in your life, this show does not fuck around on its critique of capitalism and the whole idea of like corporate synergy. It takes place in a place called Park Planet, which has a floating theme park lands, and it covers the two main characters, Frankie and Andy. Frankie and Andy. Andy works for the parks in their like Android division. Frankie is like in manufacturing and production for like mugs and everything, and also is a scrap metal, picks up scrap metal to sell back to the parks so they can reuse it for like souvenirs, other androids, stuff like that. But there seems to be a darker story involving one of the Guinevere androids, because the main character of the theme park is Guinevere, and there's like 50,000 different Guineveres. There's a mermaid one, but they all share a data set where they remember who you are. So Andy and Frankie find an abandoned Guinevere android that seems off, and then go on a quest to kind of repair her or help her. There seems to be, and then you've got Olivia, who is like the Walt Disney family heir to the parks. You get a kind of good look at her when she's a child. She's absolutely terrifying. Equally as terrifying as a old lady that's bedridden. The whole series just, it just has this very like rich lore already kind of built into it. You can pause every other frame and see different like world building news articles in the background. It actually, you know what it gives me? It gives me Westworld vibes. Westworld and like dark sci-fi vibes, which but it's animated gorgeously. The animation is beautiful. What did you think about it, Eric?
How much is out? Because I only watched the pilot, but you're talking like the whole season's out.
No, just the pilot. Just the pilot. Oh, okay. But like I said, if
I got the whole plot, the whole timeline.
No, that's what one I mean though. Okay. Yeah. Every time there's a splash page of like, because there's like a montage of stuff happening throughout the years from the time Olivia, at the beginning you see Olivia as like a little girl, and then during the montage you see her as like a 20 something. And then, like, later in the episode, you see her as, like, an old woman. But during the montage, if you pause that, every single time there's, like, a news article or something that pops up, you can see in the side articles, there was a kid brought giant scissors to the fucking park and, like, cut off a Guinevere's head while his sister was, like, getting pictures taken with her. Like, there's a disease known as blue lung. That's on the rise. Like, there's all sorts of little things just all over in the background because it's a pilot. And I don't know. I think the thing about indie animation is they depend on the number of views to monetize, and they depend on merchandise in order to green light another episode. So I'm pushing this show hard because Owl House was fantastic. And just so you know, Pat, Owl House has a super adorable, small, little, like, dog demon-like character that you will absolutely love. Not as cute as Lion from Steven Universe, but definitely King is every bit of as adorable, and I know you would love him.
We've discussed this. Large, weird animals are what get me in here. The big ass cat in K-pop Demon Hunters.
Lion. I mean, Derpy is the main character of K-pop Demon Hunters.
Is his name Derpy? Oh my god!
At least that's the way people referred to him online. I don't.
No, that's what his pop figurine.
I know it's called Derpy. There's a pop figure, so he has to have a name. Derpy, that's phenomenal. Lion, Lockjaw. Telling you, you give me an oversized animal as a pet, probably there. I pulled up pictures and it gave me Steven Universe vibes from like the animation or the character styling. And we know how famously I took to that show, how quickly that happened.
It took a lot of needling, and then it was like all of a sudden I remember you were like caught up and you had watched the movie, and I was like, when did this happen? You were like, there was a giant pink lion, and I had to know everything about him, so I had to start watching the show. And so...
Listen, between Lion and Estelle, like it is what it is. A boy likes what he likes. Can leave him be.
But I've watched an episode or two of Amazing Digital Circus. I did watch the pilot for Gaslight District, which almost seemed like it wasn't claymation, but it had a very claymation look. So that one's like a post-apocalyptic, like dark fantasy. But I did watch a little bit of Murderbots. That was cute. But definitely, indie animation has kind of gone through a renaissance especially with Hazbin Hotel. When they released their pilot, that sucker got like millions and millions of views. And then later on, Vivzy Pop, the woman who was the head of that, created her own animation studio. And not only did Amazon pick up Hazbin Hotel for its full run, it's going to get its full season run, they decided to pick up her other show, Hell of a Boss, which takes place in the same universe, and picked that up. And Amazon is now going to help produce its remaining seasons, as well as like link up the shows. They actually released a new retooled pilot for Hell of a Boss as well as seasons 1 and 2 on Prime Video. So I think all seasons of Hell of a Boss as well. And they actually updated the animation too. They touched up all the animation. So I just think it's really great when people who have been either snubbed or have like a really good original idea or something interesting get a chance. Like there's no guarantee that Knights of Guinevere are going to get picked up for at least a full season run, because that's the thing with indie animation. Like, she could get enough money. Glitch Productions could get more than can get enough money to possibly do like another 2 or 3 episodes. Who knows? But animation always takes, especially hand-drawn animation. And this is Glitch Productions' first 2D animation. But 2D animation, all the forms of animation, they always take a good chunk of time to produce and do properly, especially when you've got somebody that's got a vision they want to put forth. So I think it's great that Glitch Productions contacted Dana Terrace and was like, hey, you want to do something? You want to do a thing? And she was like, sure. It's going to be really weird and violent. And they're like, even better. So I just appreciate that at least in this timeline, we've got some form of free expression that's not like... Like, I'm shocked that Has-Been Hotel and Hell of a Boss has not been found by, like, religious right-wing nutcases. I am really confused as to how it's not been picked up. Because I know it was nominated for, like... I think the album was nominated for, like, a Grammy or something. So I'm like... They were definitely nominated for like a couple of Streamy Awards. So I'm like, y'all be quiet. I don't need a congressman with a diagram with a fucking xenomorph on the front of it explaining to me that this is what Tylenol is going to do to my body. I need at least a day without that. So
well, I think all the conservatives canceled their Amazon Prime after Transparent. And just never picked it back up. So.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. So, but no, I'm excited. I really want to see more of it. Eric, would you, if they get a full season order, are you gonna watch it?
I would watch more. Yeah. It's very dark and twisted.
In like 6 to 8 years, when it's appropriate for them to pick up a new show.
See, but that's what makes these pilots so perfect for you, Pat. Because it's right, you could literally watch this now, and then you could forget about it, and then by the time they get greenlit for like another 4 or 5 episodes, you could watch one. You could watch one a year and be like, "Oh, hey," because that's pretty much what I did with Hell of a Boss. I was pretty much just like, "Oh, hey, a new episode came out," and I'll watch it, and then I'd be like, "All right," and in 6 months to a year, the next episode will be out. So I'll just go about my life.
Hi, that is not how I watch television. Do we not remember my Survivor binge watch?
Reality television.
My every other show binge watch. I binge watch Black Mirror.
Why would you do that?
Because I have no.
I mean, that's the opposite of self care, right there.
Exactly.
I watched the first. See, here's the thing. Everybody told me, do not watch the first episode. If you're gonna binge it, binge episode 2 of the first season on, and then watch the first episode last. I watched the first 4 episodes back to back to back, and then I didn't watch it till it hit Bandersnatch came out. And then I started watching it again very slowly, because that show, the opposite of self-care is like the perfect explanation for binge watching Black Mirror.
It is. yeah, it really is.
But yeah, I'm over the moon. I can't wait. I can't wait for the next con cycle, because this came out right after all the big cons happened. So like, now I'm 90% sure we're gonna get like a metric ton of cosplays of like the different Guineveres, including like the trash Guinevere that's got like one eye missing and like a foot missing. I can't wait for all of like the random cosplays for this one pilot episode that are gonna happen next year.
Good times. Good times, great oldies. All right. So two quick things that I kind of, they're connected, completely connected. Before we go into the last thing I want to chit chat about and we wrap up this episode. Hasbro Marvel figure lines that have been released or announced and up for pre-order. Can I just say, if anybody out there wants to buy me the two-pack X-Men 97 Scott Summers Jean Grey, where they are essentially, where it's the X-Men 97 repurpose of the iconic cover from the end of the Dark Phoenix saga, where Jean is in her Marvel girl dress and Scott is in his blue Cyclops outfit for that, you know, hand-holding cover scene. Please feel free to buy that for me. And if you don't want to buy that one for me, they announced the Rachel Summers Excalibur and put that up for pre-order.
Are they going to do a figure of the Thor Marvel Rivals Summer skin?
Oh, no, I need, listen, y'all have no idea. This summer was good for me with Marvel Rivals, because let me tell you, the mods were just straight up pornography, because like, there is no reason that the thing's ass should jiggle. There is no unearthly, you can't tell this old ass nerd to be like, that's shaking. I'm like, that's rock. It shouldn't be shaking, but I'm a look.
Exactly.
I'm a look. The thing, the Yancey Street special, the thing be thanging. This was a thanging summer between the movie and the mods for Marvel Rivals. I ain't good.
Okay. Who said we needed this in Marvel Rivals? And can I send them a thank you basket?
you hadn't seen it yet?
No.
Ooh, the Thor one was here's the thing. There is a pervert on that character design. The men have no business looking that thick. No straight man looks at men and thinks that needs to be thicker. There is no straight reason for that. Like, when I tell you if the gay agenda exists, it's somebody wormed their way into the Marvel Rivals character design, because like, Thor was looking like a snack. Everybody, all the men in their swimsuits were looking pretty damn good, and I was like, this is absurd. This is sinful.
Rob Liefeld would like a word with you on why these men are so thick. Then again, you know that Rob Liefeld didn't do that because the legs and feet are not super tiny in comparison to the chest. That is tree trunk proportional, tip to toe. Because even those feet are insane, are thick from what I just looked at. But you know what? I will say this. I'm sure that it ties into the fact that they brought back the Marvel swimsuit special. And as somebody who grew up with that in the 90s, thank you. I am so happy that that has made a comeback. And I'm so glad that Russell Dowderman was involved in creating some of this, because he put a homosexual into a capacity to draw these Marvel characters in swimsuits. And it is amazing. Amazing. Russell Dowderman just in general is amazing. I don't know if I mentioned this. Did I tell y'all that I got the crowdfunded Art of Russell Dowderman book? Hardcover, like, art book?
Oh, no. That's awesome.
I don't think so.
Dude, it is gorgeous. I got the case, like, the hard cardboard, like, sleeve for it. Like, wrap around, Wanda's on one side, Jean is on the other. This thing is just, Clover Press, I think, is the manufacturer. They've been doing a lot of different artists' compilation books. This Russell Dowderman book, phenomenal. I got the trading cards, I got the stickers. Russell's work is just chef's kiss. So good. But yeah, so Rachel Summers action figure from Excalibur, I'm so excited for. I want that. I want the Jean Grey and Cyclops X-Men 97 double pack. There's a couple of these. Like I'm like, I don't need them. I should not buy them, but I want them. But there's that. Also, I'd mentioned, I think, the last time we recorded that the special edition, like purple marble emotion reissue on vinyl was out of stock, or like the pre-order was out of stock, back in stock. And I'm so tempted to drop some money on a 2LP version of Emotion for the 10-year anniversary that comes out the day before my birthday and about a week after BJ's birthday, although not as much of an issue for you. You're not clamoring for the Carly Rae Jepsen vinyl. No. But I would be remiss if I did not talk, if I'm going to segue into some music to close out with a couple of things. One, as a homosexual who has been a fan for, at this point, 35 years, can I tell you how excited I am the day that this podcast comes out, this episode specifically, we will have a new Mariah Carey album in our digital hands, because I will not have the physical copies by that point, I'm sure. But I did order a CD and the direct-to-consumer vinyl variant for Mariah Carey's new album, Here For It All, and I am so excited. The kids don't know, and it's so crazy to me that, like, seeing so many people just... People were questioning why she was getting the Video Vanguard Award at the MTV VMAs. Like, first off, who's really paying attention to the VMAs anyway? But still,
I was paying attention to Ricky Martin performing at the VMAs.
I didn't see his performance, but I'm sure that it was. I'm sure
Daddy
it was
Martin.
Yeah. Is that the performance you wanted? Did you want the performance on stage?
Poppy Martin,
the private one.
Yeah.
Poppy Martin.
But yes, her performance was good too.
I watched it. I was like, it's a Mariah Carey performance. I love it. But the fact that people were like, well, the fact that people were even questioning, like, why is she getting the Video Vanguard Award? Baby, you are way too young to know, but she had some freaking iconic videos of the 90s into the early 2000s. Like, she really is that girl, said in the Anitra voice. Like, the amount of times I just stop and in my head do the "she really is that girl" in the Anitra voice is too often. But yeah, Mariah's got a new album coming out. We have two of the singles already. She's dropping the third and a video for the new single, Play the Song with Anderson .Paak, on Friday when it comes out. And can I tell you how sad I was? I was maybe 45 minutes or an hour late to the post on Instagram. Mariah Carey is going to be in Union Square's Barnes & Noble's this Saturday, signing copies of her album. And I am in New York and could go to the city, and it was sold out. And I was like, so close, yet so far away. Normally it would just be like, I'm in Chicago, I can't just like pop over to New York. The fact that I'm on Long Island and could be in Manhattan in 45 minutes, I did not find out about this until the tickets were sold out. So I was very sad about that.
You're going to go in case there might be walk-ups at all?
They won't. That's there's too little of a chance. And I'm staying in Manhattan starting Sunday evening. It's not going to be worth it. But if anybody hears this on Friday and is like, oh, I have an extra ticket and I'm in New York and Pat's here, please feel free to reach out to me and let me know. I will gladly pay for the ticket and accompany you to meet Mariah and get an autograph. But yeah, so I'm excited for that. And if we haven't discussed it already, I think I have mentioned it, but we are inching ever so much closer to the life of a showgirl. Taylor Swift's 12th album coming out on October 3rd. And she just announced that they are doing an in theater release thing where they're going to show her video for the Fate of Ophelia. I think they're doing lyric videos. There's going to be parts where she discusses like different things about like the making of the video for the Fate of Ophelia. That's why I say thing, because it's not just like, oh, well, it's a listening party. It's just, it's a video. It's like, it's all these different components for like a release experience in the theater. I will not be attending one of these, most likely, but I'm excited for it. So that's going to lead me to this question. Eric, have you finally listened to the Tortured Poets Department that you purchased on CD?
No.
One day. We'll get there. But so much good stuff music-wise going on right now. I'm excited for all of that. So any other Mariah Carey fans out there, please let me know if you're excited about Here For It All. First new album since 2018's Caution. And I will tell you, I loved Caution, so I'm excited for this album. She's not touring for Christmas, and from what I've read online, she's not touring for this album. But she is doing a Vegas stint for Christmas this year. Her Christmas time show will be in Vegas for an X period of time. So I'm a little sad. It's going to be my first year in a couple of years where I have not seen Mariah Carey live, but I'm excited for new music.
She knows.
I'm sure she does. She's like, oh, I feel Pat's disappointment.
She'll be like, this queen. This queen's abandoning me. I'll punish him. I need his money.
Hey, listen, I bought a CD. I bought a vinyl record. I'm giving her my money.
The twins need a new island.
I will tell you this. The one thing that I will, or not will not, but am much more hesitant to buy from my diva is merch from her Amazon shop, because Jesus Christ, that Pride crop top at $85. And then I went on and looked at it and was like, one of the shirts, was it the shirt or like a hoodie? Like you go through like all the sizes up to I think like 2X or all one or like one price, and then you go to 3X and it jumps up like $15 or $20. And I was like, oh, ma'am, I don't need any new merch right this moment. Thanks, I appreciate it. But anywho, it's been a great time catching up with you boys, talking about what's going on in the world of pop culture, listeners. Feel free to check us out online, flameonshow.com. You can reach out to us. Our contact info is on our website. Let us know what you're watching. Let us know if you've seen any, experienced, listened to, done any of the stuff that we've talked about in this episode. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks with our next episode. Some of us will be older by that time. At least two of the three of us on this call today will be older by the next time we record, most likely. But we appreciate you all out there, and we will see y'all next time. Bye!
Later!